What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
It's just going to go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Last season, Josh Jacobs made it into the fifth round in a lot of drafts. He was right at the 4-5 turn in ADP. Miles Sanders was a sixth-round pick. Marquise Brown got off to a great start. He was a sixth-round pick. Tony Pollard made it to the seventh round. He might have won you some fantasy leagues. Amon-Ra St. Brown was drafted even later than that, mid-round seven based on average draft position. We are talking about mid-round picks today, which I am defining as rounds 5 through 8, picks 49 through 96. Better not get any objections to that definition, but we welcome you to the show. I'm Adam Azer here. I got Dave Richard. I got Heath Cummings on this Wednesday afternoon, morning, whatever. Dave, what would you look for, if anything in particular, a position, upside, safety, something like that in a mid-round pick, typically rounds 5 through 8?
I'm looking for value, Adam. I want players that I think should have gone in rounds 3 and 4 that maybe slipped a little bit. I want upside. I want players who I think can be second or third round picks or better next year in these rounds. And I want starters. I want guys that I can look at and say, yeah, that guy can start on my fantasy team. That's what I'm especially looking for when we get to like round 7 and 8. And there aren't a lot of those guys left. A lot of the times when you're drafting in round 7 and 8, you're looking at number 3 running backs, probably number 3 receivers, middle of the pack tight end, middle of the pack starting quarterback this year is what you're going to find. And really the quarterbacks and the tight ends, those are guys that you're going to start and you'll say, okay, bang, got a starter right there in the middle rounds and you'll feel okay about it.
Heath, this was typically an area where I would target wide receivers, a lot of them. But last year, it was ugly. I mean, some good, some bad. But based looking at fantasy football calculator ADP in round 5, DK Metcalf, Michael Thomas, Allen Robinson, Chris Godwin, Brandon Cooks, Jerry Jeudy, Gabe Davis, Adam Thielen into round 6, Darnell Mooney, Marquise Brown, Hunter Renfro,
Make it stop.
Yeah, well, it gets a little bit better because, you know, it's later picks. 7th round, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, Rashad Bateman, Amari Cooper. That was a good round. Devontae Smith, Elijah Moore, Alan Lazard, DeAndre Hopkins, Brandon Ayuk, Christian Kirk. Some good ones in there, but also it was a disappointing year for wide receiver. Do you think this will be a good range for wide receiver in 2023?
I like the second year wide receivers in this range. I like the third year wide receivers okay in this range. I'm not as excited about the older wide receivers, and that might be, looking back on it, what happened a lot last year, was that some of the younger guys were better and the older guys were not. But mostly it sounds like probably most of the positions were in the mid rounds. There were some big hits and there were some big misses. I'm looking at young running backs, young wide receivers, and then quarterbacks or tight ends that I think could legitimately be difference makers. Now, I don't want to draft a guy in the middle rounds at tight end that I think is going to finish at tight end 6. Yay. Right. I want somebody who could be a needle mover.
Okay. Also on today's show, we'll talk about the Vikings running back situation. We'll talk about Titans running back Tajay Spears, rookie running back, and his lack of an ACL. What Devontae Adams said about the Raiders offense, and more. And your emails, hopefully, at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. So now I know what you're looking for in a mid-round pick. Now I want your favorite mid-round picks. How about, we'll start with one. We'll do one from each of you. Dave, you can go first. You give me a list of some of your favorite mid-round picks. Who would you like to highlight?
I would like to highlight the same guy that I first spoke of on the last podcast we did, Heath, and that would be J.K. Dobbins in Baltimore. We're excited about all the moves that the Ravens made this offseason and what it means to the long-term impact for Lamar Jackson. I think there's a good long-term impact for J.K. Dobbins as well. 24 years old, metrics off the charts from last year. Fantasy production wasn't so great. He was just above 10 PPR points per game. In his last four, it was a little bit better than that. It was like 11 and a half, somewhere close to that. But if defenses have to start respecting the pass a little bit more in Baltimore, and the Ravens did nothing to really improve their running back room this offseason, I think there's room for Dobbins to have the type of year that we were hoping that he would have. This is one of those players that I was talking about earlier, where we're drafting them in round four and five, but next year they might be a second or third round pick.
How many catches for Dobbins if he plays 17 games?
I'm going to set the over-under at 27.
Okay. Heath, over-under, 27 catches for Dobbins.
Yeah, I was just going to, I did the one sheet I didn't have pulled up was my running back projections because I was getting ready to talk about a wide receiver as my favorite. But that seems just a little bit low because I do think they're going to throw the ball quite a bit more than they have in the past. And I think Dobbins has been close to that pace maybe last year. So I will say Dobbins is, nope, I've got him lower, 21.
He had 7 catches in 8 games last year. But two years ago when the Ravens did throw the ball more, when Dobbins was hurt and they had terrible running backs, Devontae Freeman did have 34 catches in 16 games. But they are typically, they've been bottom four in running back targets each of the last 4 years. New offensive coordinator, though, maybe things will change.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to change that much just because what does Lamar do when his first target downfield isn't open?
Yeah.
Well, it would be if they have more designed pass plays to the running backs.
Right. But I think Dobbins can set a career high there, but his career high is only 18 catches in a season. So, 27 might be too high.
All right,
now
so
I feel like a moron.
Dobbins is a round 5 pick, RB 17. Now it says he's RB19, but
falling fast.
I'm looking at okay, I think things have changed actually in the link that we were looking at, the PPR consensus rankings for Fantasy Pros, but he's going right in the same range as Miles Sanders, who's someone Heath had on his list. I know Heath, you're going with Sanders over Dobbins, easy, right?
Yeah, but I'm a lot higher than on Miles Sanders. I think where Dobbins is going is I've got him at 57th overall, so I'm probably very close to where he is. I'm about 2 rounds higher than that on Sanders.
All right, Dave, how about you, Miles Sanders or J.K. Dobbins?
Currently have Dobbins over Sanders, but I get why you'd go with Sanders over him simply for the reception upside. The fact that if the 27 is the number for Sanders, I think that's an easy over. He's been over that in 2 years of his career and really close to it in a third season.
Yeah. Okay.
I've got Sanders at 36.
Sure. Like 37 would probably be the good number for Sanders. And I'll be completely honest, he could blast that number. He could get close to 45, 50 and get in there and catch a bunch of passes in this offense.
I don't even know what is the argument for Dobbins over Sanders, that he'll be on a better offense.
That's one.
That he'll average more yards per carry because he's been 6 yards per carry as a rookie and 5.7 yards per carry last year. So he's been incredible at that. But what else?
The other factors are that Sanders, I don't want to make you go against Sanders, Heath, because he's your guy. There's a chance that Sanders doesn't stay healthy for 17 games like he did last year. I think it's very unlikely he scores 11 touchdowns like he did last year. It's unlikely he's going to get 0 like he did the year before, but 6-7 touchdowns, I think that's well within range for Sanders. And I think Dobbins can beat that. I think Dobbins can get to 10.
on a really good year.
And see, that's just the difference in the projections. I think I have Sanders projected for 10 and Dobbins for 7. So, there's not a strong enough history for Dobbins to make a good projection on his touchdowns.
Is there what's the history on Sanders? Because before last year, he had 9 career rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, I just view this as they went out and made him the highest paid running back in the free agent class and came close to guaranteeing him 3 years, like put a significant investment in him. And Chuba Hubbard is the number 2 running back on the team. I just don't think it's going to be like Philadelphia where Jalen Hurts and Boston Scott stole touchdowns. I think he is their guy.
I don't even know how you would use previous year's touchdown totals for Sanders to project for this year. But I'll tell you this, for Baltimore, the last 4 seasons, those are the Lamar Jackson seasons, not Jackson's rookie year, but beginning with his MVP season. Here are the Baltimore running back rushing touchdowns, 14, 17, 14, and then last year only 9. And they were horrible. I mean, they had one of the worst offenses in football without Lamar Jackson last year. And that's actually when Dobbins got healthy and had that 4-game stretch where he was pretty good. Okay, let's get Heath's guy. Heath, who's your favorite mid-round pick or one you'd like to highlight?
Yeah, I hate to do the same thing Dave did and talk about the guy we talked about on the Dynasty show, but I do love him for redraft also. So I'm going to say Jahan Dotson. He is wide receiver 41 in round 8, I believe is what I saw. And I just don't see that big of difference between him and Christian Watson. I talked about this a lot yesterday. They're very similar rookie seasons. Dotson was a first-round pick. He's a year younger than Watson is. That's why I like him more in Dynasty. But for redraft purposes, you look after he got healthy the end of the year, his last 5 games on pace for 71 catches, 1,170 yards, and 10 touchdowns. And he came into the NFL ready to go, was playing 87% of the snaps or more in his first 3 games. Now, Carson Wentz was playing quarterback at that time, and if you remember, Carson Wentz only had eyes for Terry McLaurin. There was not a lot of target share available for Jahan Dotson early in the year. He was mostly used in the red zone, but he has had some glowing things to say about Sam Howell. I see his target share ticking up every time he speaks publicly about how much he likes Sam Howell. And I think that there's an underrated chance that he's the number 1 wide receiver, or at least a 1A, 1B situation with Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, I mean, give me that 17-game pace for Dotson in his last 5 games.
71, 11, 70, and 10.
Yeah, I mean, that's better than Watson, except for the touchdowns. Watson was on pace in the last 8 games, which was his healthy stretch, of 66 catches, 1,111 yards, 15 touchdowns. He also had a rushing touchdown, maybe 2 actually in that stretch. I think 1.
He did have 1, a 46-yarder, I think.
Yeah.
So fantasy points per game, he was considerably better than Dotson because of the rushing production, I think. But the other thing is, I think the downgrade from Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love is probably bigger than the downgrade from Carson Wentz / Taylor Heineke to Sam Howell.
Sam Howell / Jacoby Brissett.
I don't expect there to be any Jacoby Brissett, but that is possible, yes.
All right, and they are going, yeah, it's such a different value. So Jahan Dotson, right around wide receiver 40. Yesterday when we looked at this link, he was wide receiver 41. In fact, about an hour ago, he was wide receiver 41. Now I'm looking at the same exact link, which is the Fantasy Pros PPR consensus rankings. He's wide receiver 39. So
seems like somebody updated their rankings and moved up Jahan Dotson. They've probably been listening to the Fantasy Football Today Dynasty show.
Christian Watson, 66th overall. On this page, Jahan Dotson, 96th overall. So good value there. All right, we'll come back to this list and talk about a lot more players, including Justin Herbert, Kyle Pitts, Damian Pierce, Rashad White, Cam Akers, Alexander Mattison, currently a round 8 pick. Here's a stat on Mattison. In the last 6 games that Dalvin Cook has missed, Mattison has scored 21.4 or more PPR fantasy points in 4 of those 6 games. And last year in week 18, when the Minnesota played their starters, I don't know, about half the game, Mattison scored 2 touchdowns. So
yummy.
And we got reason to think he'll be the guy, at least for, you know, maybe they'll sign someone else, but we'll talk about that shortly. It is major time on the golf calendar, and the First Cut podcast has you covered with comprehensive coverage of the PGA Championship from Oak Hill Country Club in New York. Join our gang for daily recaps from Rochester as they follow the sport's top stars on their quest for the Wanamaker Trophy. Download and follow the First Cut podcast wherever you find this one. That is the First Cut Podcast. Before we go to break, Heath, tell me the most interesting thing that was said on the Dynasty episode yesterday.
Really interesting conversation about Jameson Williams and how concerned we are that he's just not playing football and will not be practicing for the next 7 weeks, so the first 7 weeks of the season with the Lions. He was a major, major faller for me over the last month in my Dynasty rankings.
Cool. All right, check it all out on the Dynasty episode, which is in our feed. It's on Tuesdays. It's also on YouTube at youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. If you click on the live tab, you will see all of our archived live shows. And if you're watching on YouTube right now or watching later, please hit the like button. It will help us out a lot. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
We're back to give you the news and notes. All right, can I bring in Schaefer? Schaefer, you good for to help me out on this one? You ready? Give me a thumbs up. All right, I need your Dalvin Cook. All right, Schaefer gave me the Dalvin Cook scoop last night. What happened there, Vikings fan?
So,
Come on back.
That was great.
Don't be shy.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, so the Twitter rumors started coming out about Dalvin Cook over the last couple of weeks, and then the fantasy and shows started reposting that the banner removed Dalvin Cook from the Vikings Twitter, the Vikings Twitter official banner, and replaced it with Alexander Mattison. So thinking that he's going to be the starter and Dalvin Cook's out.
Yeah, I mean, it's not nothing, right? You got to put your social media stuff out there and you take out Dalvin Cook and put in Alexander Mattison. Dave, we can talk about him right now if you want, as a guy you had on your favorite mid-round
sure.
picks list.
But right now I'm clicking around the Vikings website to see if they did the same thing. That's always been a tip-off, is what they do on the official website. I remember I got made fun of for this once because Josh Rosen wasn't featured on the Cardinals website like anywhere in their marketing. And everyone thought, well, they're not going to draft Kyler Murray because they just had Josh Rosen. And then everybody knows what happened. So I'm clicking around. I see a lot of Justin Jefferson. I'm not seeing any Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Okay, let me ask you this: are you bothered at all by how inefficient Alexander Mattison has been each of his last two seasons? I think 3.7 and 3.8 yards per carry in his last two seasons. Last year, he did not have a carry of longer than 15 yards. It was only 74 carries, and he didn't have any games with more than 10 carries, but that's two, started his career with two pretty good seasons on paper. His last two seasons have been pretty underwhelming. Does that bother you at all, or do you basically just look back at all the success he's had whenever Dalvin Cook has missed time?
I mean, the stats that you gave are pretty eye-opening. The fact that two-thirds of his games, he was over 20 fantasy points per. That's nice. And I'm looking for something like that. That kind of upside will make him a very popular pick in fantasy drafts once it's clear that Cook is off the Vikings roster. What I think is going to end up happening in Minnesota, even if Cook stays, is that there will be a split. And they're not going to try and force one guy to handle the majority of the work. So even if Madison will be the 1A if Cook leaves, and he'll be the 1B if Cook stays. But I'm looking at Madison as somebody who could rack up on a good week 15 touches, but most weeks around 11 to 12 with some touchdown potential mixed in. And it's the volume that I'm hoping that carries him through to a good fantasy season and an RB2 type of fantasy season. Heath?
Yeah, low end RB2. I mean, I'm going to talk about Rashad White and Dameon Pierce here in just a minute. I think if we got an announcement this morning that Dalvin Cook was cut, I would still have Madison behind those two guys.
But why? He has been, I mean, he steps into this opportunity. Who's he going to split with? A seventh round rookie running back? You know, when was the last time Minnesota, I know it's a new coaching staff, but even last year, Minnesota hasn't had a split in a long time, and they didn't have one last season with the new coaching staff. But I'm not saying I disagree, but I think.
Well, I'm not sure that Dameon Pierce and Rashad White are going to have a split.
Oh, I think, I don't know about Rashad White, but I think Dameon Pierce, I mean, I would expect a bigger role from Devin Singletary in Houston than anyone else currently, if Dalvin Cook is gone, anyone else currently on the Vikings roster. I do think the Vikings would be a very good destination for Leonard Fournette or Zeke or Kareem Hunt or somebody with experience, but I don't know.
Yeah, I'm always, I think, a little bit more skeptical of a guy in year five doubling his career touches.
But you know why? You know why I asked this? Because I feel like in the past, as recently as last year, I probably said to you, when we talked about handcuff running backs, probably said to you, if Dalvin Cook were out for the season, where would Alexander Mattison be? And we've considered him a top 12 running back in that scenario. So I'm just wondering what has changed in the last year that makes him a low-end RB2 if Dalvin Cook is off the team.
Well, I don't think. I think the difference is that in a game where Dalvin Cook misses time or if he goes out in the middle of the season, it's less likely that Madison has a big splitting partner than if they are preparing to go into the season with Madison as their number one running back.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, but who is he going to split with on the current roster?
There's going to be seven running backs who have rushed for 10,000 yards on the waiver wire.
That's what I'm okay. That was my next question, right? We have to rank them now, and maybe you're going to expect the Vikings to get one of those guys. But if they don't, if they go into the season and it's McBride as the number two running back in theory,
behind, or Ty Chandler.
Yeah, I mean that. Like, I don't know.
It's right.
It's nothing. I get what you're saying. It's a seventh round rookie running back, and just filler, basically. You know, to me, it seems like an amazing situation for Madison.
It seems like a good situation for Madison. It also seems like a good situation for the Vikings to be top three in the league in pass rate.
Yeah. For sure.
And they just air it out.
Yeah.
One of the things I was going to look at, because they had last year 445 running back opportunities, which was 22nd in the NFL, but more than 100 behind the teams that were at the top. I feel like in the past they've been closer to the top of that list.
Mm-hmm. Well, they were third in pass attempts. They were third in pass attempts per game last year. They completely flipped from being a run-heavy team.
And they're probably going to be worse. They're probably going to be playing from behind more.
But still, you had Dalvin Cook as a top 10 running back on a per game basis. He was 11th in non, 11th in half, and 14th per game in full PPR.
I don't think Alexander Mattison is as good as Dalvin Cook.
Well, Cook wasn't that good last year, but I mean, look, he isn't.
So yes, the year before they had 525 running back opportunities, which ranked fourth in the NFL.
Yeah, it's not going to be as good without the Mike Zimmer strategy there, for sure. But
right, things that have changed is I think he's more likely to share in a situation where they're going into the year with him as their starter instead of him coming in when they just lost their RB1. And two, I don't think the situation is as good as it's been in past years for Minnesota running backs because they are a pass-first offense now.
Okay, well, it's well said. I also think that whether people want to admit it or not, his lack of success the last two seasons just overall on the stat sheet will probably influence people.
That would have ended it so much quicker. I should have just said he's averaged less than 4 yards per carry 2 years in a row.
You have to wonder how good he is. I mean, you have to wonder.
And you would have just accepted it.
He looked like a much better player, you know, before the last couple years. But even 2 years ago, he was incredible when he filled in for Cook. And like I said, week 18, scored two touchdowns against the Bears. But all right, more news. Hey, Matt Ryan is joining the CBS team. He will be a CBS Sports analyst. Awesome. Let's get him on the show. What do you think? Let's get him on the show.
Yes, for sure.
We'll try.
But we have to have Scott White on that day.
Okay.
Oh, that would be fun.
Deal. Tajay Spears, rookie running back for the Titans. He was asked about a report that he does not have an ACL in one of his knees, and all he said was, "I'm healthy." So something to consider for Dynasty, right? I mean, Heath, your thoughts on that? Tajay Spears, rookie.
We talked about that as well yesterday on the Dynasty show on Fantasy Football Today. Dan is downgrading him because of that. I'm not particularly concerned about it. He's a second or third round rookie pick. If I get one good season out of him, I'm going to be pretty thrilled. We've seen backs or players play with this type of condition for 5 to 8 years. Running backs have a short shelf life anyway.
Okay, Davante Adams, Dave, he says he doesn't see eye to eye with the front office on what's best for the team offensively. And he says, quote, it all depends on the style of ball that we play. If we play a certain brand of ball, I can get Garoppolo to conform to whatever. But if we use him a certain type of way, then it's going to make it tough for us to maximize who we should be this year, end quote. That was Davante Adams. What do you make of it?
I wonder if that's a signal of the Raiders planning to be a little more conservative with their downfield passing. We've already talked about this with Garoppolo and how he's, it's almost like his tendency to keep it simple and keep it short. And that's what quarterbacks are asked to do in San Francisco. Now, obviously there's going to be times where he takes deep shots. I don't have the deep pass rate attempt for Garoppolo in low. San Francisco. I could look it up, but I'm
low is the answer.
I'm assuming it's pretty low compared to the rest of the league. And if that's what the Raiders are going to go with, then of course that's going to make Davante Adams a little bit upset.
I think what this whole conversation says is you guys need to get Josh Jacobs into your top two running backs with me.
Top two running backs.
He's number two.
Because he's going to catch a lot of balls?
Just because he's going to touch the ball 360 times again.
Okay. George Bremer, hope I'm pronouncing that name right. Also hope I'm pronouncing the word hope right. George Bremer of the Kokomo Tribune said Anthony Richardson is not quite as raw as he's sometimes been portrayed.
Of course he is.
And the Colts have been impressed with his pocket awareness.
If you had watched him at Florida, you would have known that. Now, he wasn't a polished product, but a lot of people had him out to be like this raw project type of quarterback.
The three people, all three, it's a huge sample size. The three people that I've spoken to that watched him at Florida a lot all think he stinks. So I will say that.
Yeah, but their standards are kind of high.
Yeah, they're probably mad.
And one of them watched him. One of the people that I talked to watched him in high school. And he's also just absolutely not sold on Richardson. It comes down to improving his technique. His footwork's got to get better. But like reading defenses and making decisions, I think those are things that he's pretty good at. He's got to work on not making every pass a bullet throw. He's got to work on just, you know, his mechanics more than anything else.
I think it's possible he's going to have a significant upgrade in coaching for the next 12 months than he's had for his career thus far.
It was always my problem too, Dave. I threw the ball way too hard. They said, you got that lightning arm. You got to ease off a little bit. I guess quarterback.
Levis has the same problem.
Quarterback's not for me. Okay. Bijan Robinson said he was used everywhere during rookie camp from receiver to running back. That's cool. Ron Rivera says he wants to get Antonio Gibson more touches in 2023.
Boy, we talked about that too.
Okay. you could have read the note. I guess I didn't send them until like 2 minutes.
Yeah. You sent them 30 seconds before we started. You were cursing out another show's podcast.
Anyway, well, I'm cautiously optimistic for Antonio Gibson because I don't think Brian Robinson did anything to prove that he's better than Antonio Gibson. It just seemed like the coaching staff hated Gibson last year. And what I said yesterday was maybe it was just that the offensive coordinator Scott Turner hated him. Eric Bieniemy is more fond of him, and that's why Ron Rivera is now saying that he looks better.
The league average in deep pass rate attempt last year was 11.2%. Was Garoppolo higher or lower than the league average?
Lower.
Lower.
He was lower. The lowest percentage among qualifying quarterbacks was 5.4%. That was not Garoppolo. Garoppolo was at 9.7%, which is still in the bottom 10. The man who is at the very bottom of that list might be on our podcast with Scott White sometime in the next 4 months.
Worth noting that Davante Adams did have a tremendous year two or three seasons ago when Aaron Rodgers, his ADOT, everything was very short. It was one of those weird years. He's shown that he can thrive in that style as well.
He can do anything, yep.
Okie dokie. How about our favorite mid-round picks? Heath, your list includes one quarterback, Justin Herbert. He's QB7 right now, round 5 pick. And yeah, go ahead. Give me your quick thoughts on Justin Herbert.
This is one of the guys who I think could be a difference maker, could be a top 3 or 4 quarterback. We've seen him hit that 26 fantasy point per game mark. He doesn't quite have the QB1 overall upside, but definitely top 3 or 4. And so he's also QB7 for me. It's just I have 7 QBs in the first 4 rounds.
Okay, yeah, we like Justin Herbert.
But it's I'm not used to I thought it was worth pointing out because I'm not used to seeing in the middle rounds quarterbacks who have an ADP behind where I have them ranked. You look at the other quarterbacks between round 5 and all the way to round 9, almost all of them I have in the 100s in terms of the pick. So Herbert does stand out as an option that's available there if you miss the first 6 that's still there in the mid rounds.
Okay, last thing I'm going to check here. Herbert is QB7. Where is Richardson? Oh, right. He's super low. Oh, he's QB10 now. Okay, because I think when we were looking at this, he was maybe QB20. Oh, that could have been something different. This is ADP. Oh, this is ADP. The consensus rankings, it was QB20, but now this is ADP. So that's what I've been using. I've been using ADP, not consensus rankings. I said that earlier. I don't know why these changed as much as they did in the last hour, but anyway, Herbert.
Sounds like maybe it's possible that you changed the what you were using.
No, I am using the same link from the email. I clicked on it. I went back to the email. I clicked on it. It's the same. It hasn't changed that much. Just minor changes, I guess. But, okay, that's Herbert. I think we can skip Miles Sanders. Heath really likes him. He's a round 5 pick right now. He's RB18, and he's going just before J.K. Dobbins, and we had that debate, or just after J.K. Dobbins, basically the same exact spot. We had that debate a little bit earlier. Heath, you have Damian Pierce and Rashad White, a couple of second-year running backs. Pierce is a round 6 pick right now. Devin Singletary, not a factor. He's a very late round pick. And Rashad White, not a factor in ADP, I mean. Rashad White is a round 7 pick at RB26. So, yeah, go ahead. Pierce and Rashad White, who do you like better?
I have Pierce, I think, one spot ahead, but I have both of them significantly ahead of where they're being ranked. And I just think they're both probably going to be pretty close to workhorse backs. I don't imagine Devin Singletary has an impact. I know that Damian Pierce kind of hit the rookie wall last year, but now he can build on the amount of touches that he had. And I do expect this Houston offense is going to be improved. They've made, and I think they're going to be run heavy. So I think there's an opportunity to see 17, 18 carries a game and then a couple of catches for Damian Pierce.
Dave, do you think they will both be workhorses, Damian Pierce and Rashad White?
Define workhorse. Is it like the new definition of workhorse or is it the old definition of workhorse?
You know, it's not necessarily 300 carries, but 80% of the team's carries?
Is 18 touches a game? Can we say 18 touches?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe there's a better chance for White to get there than Pierce. But I personally, I like Pierce's talent better. I don't know if his situation is necessarily better. These are guys that kind of fallen into like a quality RB2 range. I do have Pierce ranked higher than Rashad White. But it's based mostly on, I think they're going to be White more so than Pierce, but both in a position to be the lead running back for their teams. White might have an edge on catching the football. We already know about CJ Stroud and how little he threw to his running backs at Ohio State. Don't know how much that'll be integrated into what the Texans are doing. And we have to say this. It's a 49ers, you know, playbook coming to Houston. And 49ers have always used multiple running backs. It's just kind of the thing they do until they've got one that they can just completely rely on, like the Jets did with Breece Hall for a few games last year, like the 49ers did most of the time with Christian McCaffrey once they acquired him. Is Pierce ready to be, you know, on that level of Hall and McCaffrey? I don't think so. And so that's probably why there's a better shot at more touches for White from game to game.
I don't know how much the 49ers specifically using multiple backs has been using multiple backs at the same for an extended period. They just never have had a back who can play 17 games. Like it was Mostert was getting 15 to 20 touches and got hurt, and then Wilson was, and then Elijah Mitchell was, and then Christian McCaffrey was. But I'm not as certain they're committed to the committee. And even if there is, like there were multiple backs that were used in Houston last year as well.
Not really.
And that worked against
really.
Pierce in the early go.
No, it didn't. That would have to push back.
Pierce barely played.
Week one was the only game. That was Rex Burkhead and Pierce were splitting. From weeks 2 through 14, that's when Pierce hurt himself at week 14. Dameon Pierce had 209 carries, and the other Houston running backs had 20 carries. He had basically.
So I was looking at snap share.
Okay, yeah. He had basically. Yeah, the other Houston running backs had 39 catches, and he had 29 catches in that stretch. But in terms of carries, I don't know if there was a running back who had a higher share than him. I mean, he was right up there at the top. Probably there was one or two, but.
He had a stretch from week 5 through week 11 where he played 72% of the snaps in all but one game. But he was the first 3 weeks, 29, 62, 59. The last 3 weeks, 56, 72, 55. So he was a full-time player for a stretch in the middle of the season, but he shared plenty early and late.
The 55, I believe, was when he got hurt, right?
We had 22 carries in that game, so maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, anyway, I just like Devin Singletary. I mean, I don't like him more than Pierce, but I like him more than most backup running backs. You know, he's a good player. We'll see how it works out.
Does avoided tackle rate mean anything to you guys?
Yeah. Stacking.
I mean, that's a stat that helps you get more yards if you can avoid tackles as a running back.
Yeah, he's good at that.
Pierce was good. He was number one among running backs with at least 175 carries last year. 28.2% avoided tackle rate. Devin Singletary was 18th at 18.6. Rashad White, pretty much dead last, second to last at 10.9%. The only guy that was worse was on his own team, Leonard Fournette, at 7.9%. Wow, that's
that low. Tell you something about the offensive line, though?
I don't know if that's necessarily about the offensive line because this is avoided tackle rate.
Yeah.
Usually yards before contact per rush will tell me something about the offensive line. And that worked out well for Singletary and terribly for Pierce. And so if that Houston offensive line gets better, like everybody's saying it will,
right,
then that's an area of improvement for Pierce where now he's going to get a yard, yard and a quarter per rush without getting touched. And he was outstanding after contact last year. He was top 10. And that's that.
And that's my big question. Like, I know the reason, Adam, that you say that Devin Singletary is a good running back is because he averages 4.5 yards per carry every year. I just don't know how much of that is playing on the Buffalo Bills with Josh Allen.
When
you're comparing 4.6 yards per carry next to Josh Allen to 4.3 yards per carry on the Houston Texans last year, I think Dameon Pierce is probably a lot better. And Singletary's been flat out bad in the passing game.
Well, yeah, I mean... It's not like Pierce was so good in the panel.
No, Pierce was bad in the passing game last year as a rookie, but that's kind of normal.
Well, okay. Singletary, I just think, has been an underrated player. Since entering the NFL in 2019, there have been 55 running backs with 300 or more carries. He's 13th in rushing yards. He's 15th in carries. He's 13th in rushing yards. He's 10th in yards per carry. He's 13th in yards before contact per carry. 19th in yards after contact per carry. There's a lot of...
Out of how many?
Out of 55. He's fifth in percentage of carries for 12 or more yards. That's explosive run rate. Fifth best among 55 running backs with 300 more carries since 2019. I think he's been a pretty underrated player. I don't think he's a great player. He's probably not as good as Dameon Pierce. He doesn't have as much upside as Dameon Pierce. Pierce is a kind of an exciting player. He can run you over. He can make some big plays. I just think that when it comes to backup running backs, he's one of the better ones in football. Go back to the Madison conversation. If he's much better than the guys that are on the Vikings, if Dalvin Cook leaves and they don't add anyone. But all right.
It would help him to be one of the best backup running backs if Alexander Madison and Tony Pollard are now starters.
Exactly. Yes. Treylon Burks is on your list. You have him and Jahan Dotson as your two wide receivers. Who do you like better?
Dotson, but I mean, I don't even know. I was going to say Burks has more target opportunity, but as little as they throw in Tennessee, I'm not even sure that's actually true. But for all the reasons we're excited about Chig Okonkwo as a potential breakout tight end, Treylon Burks has all the room in the world to be the number one wide receiver, to see 130, 140 targets in a Titans offense, even if they only throw it 450 times. And he has plenty of talent. He just has to get healthy and get in the good graces of the coaching staff. I think Treylon Burks is an excellent candidate to be a surprise wide receiver two finisher this year.
And Kyle Pitts is the last one that we'll get to on Heath's list.
Yeah. Like I said, I want a tight end who could be a difference maker if I'm going to draft a tight end in this range. And I still believe that if everything goes right for Kyle Pitts, if Desmond Ridder is not terrible, if the Falcons actually do throw the ball a little more, like Arthur Smith's saying they're going to, Pitts could have the type of year that he had his rookie year, except with touchdowns.
Would you rather have Kyle Pitts in round 6 or Darren Waller in round 7?
Pitts for sure.
Pitts.
Kyle Pitts in round 6 or Darren Waller in round 8?
Pitts.
Pitts.
Dallas Goedert or Kyle Pitts?
Goedert.
Pitts.
But it's a coin flip between them for me, basically. I've got them 59th and 60th, so.
All right, let's take a break. We'll get Dave's list when we come back on Fantasy Football Today.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Dave's favorite mid-round picks. J.K. Dobbins was the headliner. Cam Akers is a round 7 pick. We also talked about Alexander Mattison. But let's talk about Cam Akers and then Javonte Williams, who you put as sorta.
Sorta.
Yeah, but okay, Cam Akers. I want to give you one stat that I don't know that we talked about with Cam Akers. We have brought him up before. In his last 6 games, he was the number 4 running back in fantasy. He was top 6 per game. He averaged 4.9 yards per carry. He did all of that without Matthew Stafford. He was great. It reminds me a little bit of Tyler Higbee 2 years ago or whatever that was. And he had the easiest schedule. He faced teams that ranked 30th, 28th, 25th, 22nd, and 26th in fantasy points allowed. And Seattle, he faced them twice. They were horrible. I think they were 30th in fantasy points allowed to running backs.
Guess who he plays in week 1?
Seattle?
Seattle.
Well, they did beef up their defensive line.
Yeah, yeah.
But
we don't want to talk about who he plays after Seattle. But
no, I just wonder if that. I just wonder if that matters because the strong finish was very impressive for Cam Akers, but it was against the competition. It's kind of like David Montgomery a few years ago, right? Competition was as good as it gets for the most part.
Yeah, that's definitely a concern, and that's why when you can get him, I saw the ADP on Akers and I couldn't believe it. I'll take him in round 7. Every single draft I'm in, if I can get him there. I currently have him as a round 5 player, which might be too high. But I think about the Rams offense and how they really didn't do a whole lot to add competition to the running back room. And I think it's because they only had so much capital to work with this offseason. And they're headed toward a season where they're probably not going to contend for a playoff spot. Well, maybe a playoff spot, but I think they're going to have a hard time taking down the NFC West. And that's even with Arizona being a total mess. I'm nervous about the amount of opportunities for Akers, but I also just don't think that there's a ton of personnel there that's going to take him off the field, especially on running downs. The difference being he could get hurt or he can get in the doghouse again. If he has an outburst at practice, does that mean that Sean McVay talks about trading him? Who knows? But I think they went into the offseason saying, okay, we're good at running back. Cam Akers proved that he could still play. It's the best that he looked. Those last 5-6 games, I've got him in his last 5 at 17.7 PPR points per game. And yes, the matchups were great. But you're drafting him at a spot if it's round seven, where if he gives you 12 PPR points per game, that's a win. And I think he can do that even against some of the tougher defenses that he'll face.
Okay. And then Javonte Williams, I don't even know how we
like,
think
where
about,
do we start with him?
Well, where's ADP? You know, I don't think he's going to be
that's
a
what
round
it's
eight,
based
nine
on more
now.
Than anything.
Right now, he's an 8-9 turn guy, RB30, but I don't know where he'll end up. Because I think there will be, like Jamie said yesterday or Monday rather, he just thinks he's going to be out on Javonte Williams unless he gets great value. And I think there will be enough people in that camp. So what are your thoughts on Javonte Williams right now?
Yeah, at this value, that's all about this is part of the secret of winning fantasy leagues is taking advantage of, you know, public perception. This is a running back who we loved coming out of North Carolina. I still expect him to share in Denver, but you're getting him at a cheaper price point than, you know, 30 other running backs. And he can finish as a top 30 back if he gets back on the field and you give him a couple weeks to round into shape. Might be a better second half of the season player. But we've seen the tendency with Sean Payton to lean on his running backs in the passing game. It's not just a third down thing, which is where I think Samaje Perine will contribute for Denver. It's also a first and second down thing, and Williams can catch the football. He has not been a great stat producer, at least consistently, throughout his first 2 years in the league. He barely played in his second year. He's been below 11.5 PPR points per game on average each of the first 2 years. I think he's got a shot to do better than that, but it's specifically going to come in the second half of the season. You draft him, you're patient. And listen, you're drafting him in round eight or round nine if he's going to start the season on the PUP list, or if he's going to start not on the PUP list, but he's not going to play the first two, three games of the season. If he's practicing in training camp, there's no chance you're getting him this late. And that's the other caveat to it. And so would I take him in round five? I mean, the reports would have to be glowing for anybody to be that excited about Javonte Williams.
I don't know. Round five. Okay. So if you're telling me he's ready for week one, how about this? Fill in the blank. If Javonte Williams is ready for week one, he should be drafted in round blank, and Samaje Perine should be drafted in round blank of a 12-team PPR league.
I'm going to lean a little conservative then and just say like round six for Javonte and probably like round nine for Perine.
Could go 4-8.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's going to be round five on average for Javonte, average between Heath and I. Small sample size. And then right in that 8-9 range for Perine.
How much is the ACL factoring? Is that the most of the reason why he's not a top three round pick? Okay. Yeah. And by the way, there've been very few workhorses in terms of just carries in 15 seasons with Sean Payton as the head coach of the New Orleans Saints. 15 seasons, there have been a running back who's had 226 or more carries only four times. But the most recent season, Alvin Kamara averaged 18.5 carries per game. That was in 2021. So he has shown it. But this guy does split a lot. However, he also, ton of catches. Dave mentioned
I think
a ton
we should
catches.
Give up on the idea of Javonte Williams as a workhorse running back ever. He was not a workhorse running back in college. He's not been a workhorse running back in the NFL. And then he had a major significant knee injury.
Okay. Last guy that I want to get to, Dave, is someone who Jamie had on his tough to rank list, and that was Chris Godwin. Currently on Fantasy Pros PPR ADP, he's a round five pick. He's wide receiver 29. Do you like that value on Godwin?
Yeah, I do. I'm probably going to end up with Godwin on a lot of my teams in full PPR because I think he's a much better fit for not only what Baker Mayfield does, but also Kyle Trask. Compared to Mike Evans. Evans, perimeter receiver, got a lot of his production on downfield routes. All of his touchdowns last year came on go routes. Those are passes that Baker Mayfield just isn't good at throwing. Baker is a little bit more conservative. I'm sure he'll be asked to play conservatively. And it's just easier to throw, you know, a pass between 5 and 10 yards to Godwin, who's excelled at those types of targets for years. And I'm kind of hoping that he just eats it up and has a chance to get close to 85, 90 catches. And the production that comes along with it won't be efficient. We're not going to say, wow, Chris Godwin, 15 yards a catch. That's not happening unless they're playing 11 on 10. But I think he could average around 10, 11 yards per catch.
and come up with like six touchdowns.
So I wrote about this this week because I talked to Jamie. I was on when Jamie said that too, and we kind of argued a little bit. And so I did the math. They've averaged 741 pass attempts per season the last 2 years.
No chance. It's going to be anywhere close.
The league median last year was 571. They have a former defensive coordinator at head coach and a first-time play caller who has been under Pete Carroll for the last 13 years. I think league median pass attempts is the most I would want to project for them. They're probably going to be below. If they're at league median, that's a 23% drop in the number of pass attempts. If you take Chris Godwin's fantasy points per games the last two seasons and lop off 23%, and again, that's assuming he's equally efficient with Baker Mayfield or Trask as he was with Tom Brady. If you just take off the 23% for volume, he's wide receiver 30 2 years ago, wide receiver 36 last year.
Per game or overall? Because he did miss
per game.
Okay.
That's just taking his per game average and looking at basically 77% of it. I don't think that's the floor.
I just don't know. It's like it's easy for me to be off of Mike Evans, to just not really want him unless it's, you know, round seven or something. But Godwin is still in his prime. I think he's really good. And Evans is a great player, just, you know, getting older. I don't want to believe that his floor is lower than wide receiver 30.
You've got him at 11.5 PPR points per game if you're taking off 23%.
Because I'll tell you what, because I just don't see them throwing to the running backs nearly as much as they threw under Brady.
The path. He could have an increase in target share.
Right, that's what I would expect. I would expect that.
I mean, Baker Mayfield has not exactly been a throw to one guy 30% of the time type of guy, as we saw, unfortunately, last year.
No, not 30%, but what's his target share been, do you know?
I've got him projected for 22%, I think.
And you have Godwin projected as wide receiver what?
35.
Yeah.
But if he played 70 games, and like that's really the same as a per game. I've got him at 119 targets, 88 catches at 10 yards per catch, just like Dave said. Mm-hmm. But that's 88 catches at 10 yards per catch is 880 yards.
By that math, Jordan Addison would have a better year.
What?
By that math, I think Jordan Addison could have a better year.
Well, I think it is time to read some emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. This is from Tom Ford in L.A. And he used to sound like an actor, movie star, Tom Ford.
I think that is the name of an actor, isn't it?
He's probably a designer.
Is he?
Yeah.
Like this guy who's emailing, or there's a someone named Tom Ford?
I mean, he's probably faking that he's Tom Ford, but yeah, that's who Tom Ford is.
Thomas Schaefer on
the Don't you live in New York? Don't you live in New York, Adam?
I'm supposed to know who Tom Ford is?
I mean,
when was you haven't been to maybe. The fashion show recently?
Oh, he is in a section on Neiman Marcus. No, I did not know him. I think that this guy's name is actually just Tom Ford, and he probably doesn't know who the other Tom Ford is. I think Schaefer's wrong on this
one. I think this is the real, legitimate Tom Ford.
That could be. Okay, Tom
Ford. This is the great-great-grandson of Henry Ford.
Right now, without signings or player movement, who do you expect to have a more fantasy-relevant season? Zeke, Mixon, Fournette, or Dalvin Cook?
Mixon. I think he's staying. I think.
Yeah. See, that's the question. Adam, you asked me this earlier in the week. Like, don't we think Dalvin Cook has more left than Zeke and Fournette? Like, do we think Dalvin Cook gets cut and then is a starter somewhere else in the next month?
If he goes to Miami, yes. That's a crowded backfield, but yes. And that's where he wants to go. It's where he's from. I think so. I think Dalvin Cook's still a starting running back, but also I think you said it on Monday. It wouldn't shock me if Dalvin Cook is no longer a starting running back. We just don't know it yet. And then we find it out this year. He just has that and he's
Which
not that good anymore.
Kind yet. Of at times look like what might be happening to Mixon last year. I mean, it's, I remember they were choosing to play some Ajay Perine more in the, against the Chiefs in the playoffs.
Oh, I think you could argue that given the amount of light boxes that he faced, Joe Mixon faced, he had one of the worst seasons of any starting running back. I mean,
it's fair.
He underachieved so significantly. God, that one game against Carolina just carried him. This is from Dan. Should I trade away Tony Pollard for a 2024 first-round pick in Dynasty?
I'd aim for more.
I was going to look at the trade chart. I mean, I think the answer in a vacuum, if you are not contending this year, is you'd much rather have the draft pick than Tony Pollard.
But how many of those rookie picks, because I responded to him, I thought only three, unless it's super flex. But if it's not super flex, I would take Bijan, Gibbs, and
it's Jackson's. 2024.
Right, but this is next year's
first. Sorry.
But you know, even so,
next year's is going to be so much better.
Where have we heard that before?
Oh, man.
Look, who have you heard any huge buzz for any college prospects outside of Caleb Williams and Drake May?
Marvin Harrison.
Yeah.
And Marvin, that's fair. Yeah. Okay. But and last year,
there will be an RB1 of the class.
There will, but will it be Bijan?
No.
Like, I know Ohio State's Hull. Guy could be that guy. Like, I don't have the same sense. We could end up being dead wrong on this, and next year's draft class is huge. But I don't have the same type of sense or the same type of excitement for next year's class as I did at this time last year.
Oh, Brock Bowers. Yeah. Brock
oh,
Bowers.
Yeah. I like him too. Yeah. That's a good call.
And I'm looking at a mock draft on our site for 2024. We've got two Ohio State wide receivers in the top 10.
Yeah.
Emeka.
That second
Abuka.
Ohio State receiver. What's his? I can't remember his last
Emeka Abuka. I'm probably saying that wrong. I apologize.
I do have a random 2024 first worth slightly more than Tony Pollard. Now, if you're contending this year, I wouldn't do it. But if you're rebuilding, 100%.
I have Pollard in our Dynasty League, and I would not trade him for a 2024 first.
But you are contending this year.
I am. That's fair. It's fair, but I would not do it.
Okay. I am looking at this mock draft and scrolling down, and the Giants, 14th overall in a 2024, 15th overall, 2024 mock draft, the Giants are selecting a quarterback.
Yeah.
What are you kidding? What has gone so wrong for Daniel Jones in 1 year that they are taking a quarterback in round one? Well, they just signed him to basically a 3-year deal worth $37 million per year.
That was a mistake, and they may realize that within 1 year.
What? That would be bad. I know officially it was 4 years, 160, but okay. This is from Casey in Nebraska. Hey, Aaron, Brett, and Bart.
Packers quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's very, very bad that I originally read that and I was like, Aaron, Brett, and Bart. Oh, those are Boones. And then no, they're just
Bart Boone.
Yeah, I have the first pick in a 14-team PPR league. Convince me that Justin Jefferson is not the guy to pick.
No.
Good podcast to have this on because I think as of now, Heath and I both do not have Jefferson at one. But since the schedule has come out, I've started to get a little worried about the 49ers. I think they got a raw deal with the schedule this year. And it might be enough of a tipping point for me to go back to Jefferson.
What if it was announced that Trey Lance was starting the entire year tomorrow?
It's a big if, and I think I would like that for Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, I would hate it.
Why? Because he's gonna. You think Trey Lance is gonna steal a ton of numbers from McCaffrey?
I don't think. It just Trey means Lance the offense will be more passes to McCaffrey.
Maybe, but I also think that everything's just gonna continue to stay revolving around CMC. He might lose a couple of short yardage touchdowns to Trey Lance.
But Heath, you have Chase ahead of Jefferson, right?
I do, but I've said, even when I made that move, I said I don't feel strongly about it. I think they're separated by a half a point over the entire season. They're both awesome. I just slightly prefer Chase. I wouldn't talk anybody out of taking Jefferson, though.
From Justin. And where's he from?
Schenectady, New York.
Schenectady, I believe.
But I say it's Schenectady. I'm old school.
Dynasty 10-team PPR contending team. Which side do you like better? Davante Adams, J.K. Dobbins, and Cortland Sutton, or instead of Sutton, you can go with pick 205 in the 2023 rookie draft. Which would you rather have, pick or Sutton?
Contending team, I'd take Sutton.
Okay, Adams, Dobbins, and Sutton, or Judy, Amari Cooper, and Najee Harris. Ooh. That's so basically you are getting either the side that has maybe the 2, 3, and 4 best players, but the other side is Davante Adams. So it's Adams, Dobbins, and Sutton, or Judy, Cooper, and Najee Harris.
10 team, I'm taking the Adams side.
Okay.
I think I am too, yeah. And I think I'd rather have the pick than Sutton.
Which, where's G-Lo from?
I'm trying to think of another town in this.
Is it G-Lo or is it Glow?
It's G-Lo.
Quick, give me a town that starts with S-C-H that I can butcher.
Oh, gosh.
Scarerville instead Schitt's of Scarerville.
Schitt's Creek, yes, good. 16 team, non-PPR, $200 auction league, salary cap league, where top running backs go for $60 to $80. And we must have a minimum of 5 running backs on our roster out of 18 players. So re-sign, trade, or drop. Miles Saunders, as he writes, at $44.
Re-sign.
Let's hear the rest of the names before I make
decisions. Ken Walker at $38.
Trade if you can.
Keep going.
Ramondre Stevenson at 42.
Resign.
That's probably the first one that I like.
Isaiah Pacheco at 14.
Resign.
That's another one I like.
I think you have to pick 3. Actually, I don't think.
Well, yes, I have a minimum of 5.
Yeah, you could keep all of them.
Yeah, but if you keep all of them,
you're like 70% of your budget.
Do you really think Sanders goes for 44? Again, like I think you can get him cheaper.
Why would he go for less than he went for going into last year?
Because it's what do you mean less than what he went for last year?
He went for 44 last year.
Yeah, he'll go for more, I guess. Seems like a lot though. The top running backs go for $60 to $80. Miles Sanders, I don't think should be a $44 player. He was overpaid last year, overbid last year.
But it worked out.
All of these guys seem overvalued except maybe Stevenson. I still like Ken Walker.
Pacheco is a good value at 14. If he can outperform that pretty easily.
I think you also have to remember, Adam, that our auction values are for $100 leagues. This is a $200 league.
I understand that. I don't think Miles Sanders is a $22 player out of $100.
Right, but it's also a 16-team league.
No chance. Oh, well, 16 teams does change things a little bit, yeah.
Would you pay 44 for him, Heath? You're the biggest Miles Sanders guy we got.
Yeah, I said resign him at the beginning.
I don't know if I
feel like I'm struggling with Ken Walker. He's finally in the best situation and Adam's off of him.
It's true.
No, I'm not. I think he's more like a $15 out of 100 player. But this is 16 teams.
Which is why I'm thinking if you can get him back for like the Ken Walker price, you're winning. And I think Walker, I kind of want to keep him, but I think 38 might be too rich.
You guys like Walker or Sanders better?
Sanders by a lot.
I think you got to like Sanders better than Walker now.
Okay, I'm out of here.
That's just for this year. And if he's keeping these running backs year after year, then there might be something to keeping Walker.
I think it's for the next 2 years. But
does it say that?
No, I'm saying that I would prefer Sanders over Walker for the next 2 years.
I think I'd like to be a Charbonnet sayer. I think I'm going to be pro Ken Walker. And I'll be a Charbonnet sayer, but it's possible I'm only saying that because I like the clever name, Charbonnet sayer, and I don't know if I really feel that way. But we have time to figure that out. Anyway, thank you very much, everybody. Somebody asked if I can grow a mustache. No, I can't. So now we know that, and we will talk to you tomorrow with our favorite late round picks. Also, we have Beyond the Box Score tomorrow, a separate episode. That will publish on Friday, but you can watch it on YouTube on Thursday. Have a great day, everybody.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.